Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with my brother from another mother, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. I'm in one of my favorite places in the world, Studio 1B, and we got some great things in store tonight, do we not?
We do, and I'm very excited, man. We had a great pre-show, and I'm excited to get this information out to our audience.
Definitely. Now, I haven't seen you in about a week. What, did you have a good weekend? Spend some time with the fam? What's going on?
Good weekend. Had a good setup there. Went to my store up in Evil is Walmart. So I always go up to Walmart. I take my son with me. And this week I got a hunting license.
Oh, nice. So you got that done. Yeah, I grabbed mine right before we had went on vacation to Myrtle. And it was craziness because I knew that while I was on vacation, I had to put in for my doe tags. And so I did that from being in South Carolina. I saw that my check cleared, so definitely going to be getting a doe tag. I still need to get my sons there so we can put in for at least by second round of doe tags. But other than that, yeah, I'm kind of getting excited for hunting season. And, you know, I was I'm kind of in the market for a new rifle, too, for this upcoming season. So I've been looking around. You checking out any new tactical stuff for upcoming season?
I sure am. You know, I've been out with you millions of times, and to use your crossbow, you know, I'm very appreciative of that. That was fantastic for me. So I'm in the market for a crossbow.
Very nice. They're so much fun, and it's just great to be able to have that extra tool with you during archery season. Bring the crossbow, take yourself home a nice big fat doe.
It's almost like a rifle.
It is. I mean, it's a rifle that, you know, shoots a bolt, or for the non-hunters, an arrow. And it's a lot of fun. But I'll tell you this. When I was doing some research looking for a new rifle, I really didn't know what caliber I'm looking for. I'm not to brag, but I pretty much have any caliber you can think of. But came across some pretty interesting weapons, I should say, looking through there. I would put it in the category of like space / future weapons, or weapons that could be coming up and coming. And I know I shot you that information, and you said we need to do this on a podcast.
Right. I mean, I love talking about weapons. I love using weapons. We have tons of pistols and rifles, and man, when you and I get together and shoot clay birds and shotgun, that's fantastic. It's so much fun for me.
It is. It's so much fun. I mean, as long as you're a responsible gun owner like we are, you can go up to the range, have a great time, go out hunting, and you can literally bring home supper. And that's what I love.
It is. It's true, man. Bringing home like that much meat is just a charge.
Yeah, it lasts for so long, and it's just, there's nothing like eating a meal that you literally went out, killed, skinned, butchered.
It's primal.
It is.
It is. It
I mean,
really
it's in our DNA to behave in that manner, and hunters do a lot of great things. I love it. But let's kick this off.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about some weapons.
Yeah, okay. Let me just... This will kickstart us a little bit. Technology has drastically changed the way we wage war in the modern world. The day of two masses of humanity standing in parallel lines and charging at each other have been replaced by asymmetric deployments, cyber attacks, and guerrilla warfare. As global conflicts change and grow, governments are constantly trying to find ways to get a technological leg up on their opponents. Obviously, most of the stuff we know of in this area comes from the United States and friendly allies, who knows what kind of devious stuff they're brewing in North Korea, for example, but when the military decides to go public with something, you know they're confident in it. We're going to give a bunch of examples of present-day military tech that seems something like out of science fiction. From robotic exoskeletons that give soldiers superhuman strength to drone helicopters that learn as they fly. This is the future of war, and it's pretty awesome.
It is, man. Let me start it off by talking about centrifugal guns.
Okay.
Now, all these fancy technologies basically boil down to putting fast-moving pieces of metal into bodies, buildings, or equipment. We've been shooting bullets for pretty much the same way first two centuries, by using explosive charges to send them down a tube and into the air. The Connecticut firm Trinamic Technologies believes that we can do better, and their Dread Gun is a futuristic take on a machine gun that uses centrifugal force. The company claims the weapon can fire 120,000 rounds per second.
Jeez.
Without any recoil or muzzle flash. And there's video of a prototype test that is pretty impressive. Now, this isn't the kind of thing that you'd carry around, though. Trinamic is pitching it for use on a satellite.
Wow. So this centrifugal or fugal gun, or similar to Dread Gun, so 120,000 rounds per second, I don't think anyone can even comprehend. I mean, especially for somebody, if you've never even shot a gun before.
Right.
I mean, we were just talking about hunting. I mean, if you're sitting in the woods and you shoot a 30-odd six, even a bolt-action rifle at a deer, I mean, that bullet is traveling hundreds of miles, if not thousands of feet per second. I can't imagine shooting 120,000 rounds per second without any recoil. Muzzle flash, I can, you know, I can see how they could possibly get around that, but shooting a gun of that magnitude without any recoil to me is incredible.
I just don't see where the defense would come in. How can you defend against 120,000 rounds per second?
Right. And I mean, obviously, you know, some great minds went into creating this weapon, and them saying that they're pitching it for use on satellite platforms. So how big are these rounds? I didn't see that anywhere in our research, but how big these rounds were. But 120,000 rounds per second, and that's being shot from a satellite. So everything has to come into play, even though it's just, you know, that quick of 120,000 rounds. But, you know, the rotation of the Earth, our atmosphere, are you shooting where the target's going to be, or is everything lined? I mean, that's a really complex piece of machinery right there.
Yeah, to add the fact that it's being placed on a satellite changes everything. That's the, you're going to need, you know, some sort of guidance or like some tracking, some way to aim this thing.
Right.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to find out, are they shooting 120,000 rounds all at the same target, or do they have multiple targets? I mean, because depending on the size of the round, if you're shooting that at just one target, nothing left.
Yeah, you wouldn't need 120,000 rounds to just take one target out.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like the Gatling gun was something special, but wow, this centrifugal gun could definitely be the turning point in any war scenario.
Yeah, it would just blow anything to bits.
It certainly would. Let's see how this next one compares. This new weapon is called a thunder generator. Non-lethal weaponry is a big growth market, as the sight of shredded bodies on the battlefield isn't so good for public relations. One futuristic weapon that's been in use by the Israeli military for about half a decade is the Thunder Generator, a crowd control armament. Armament, that was originally developed to scare birds away from fields of grain. The devices use pulse detonation technology to funnel an explosion into a huge resonant barrel where it releases high velocity shock waves into the air. Those waves are strong enough to knock back and temporarily deafen targets up to 100 feet away. Closer than 10 feet, though, and it can cause gruesome, painful death.
What?
So we're just talking about sound waves that are being shot out of some type of weapon. Well, the thunder generator, to be more specific, but not too sure what that looks like. But I would assume that the barrel on it is extremely wide. I mean, the circumference of it. And to be able to shoot a pulse that can deafen you up to 100 feet away. And if you're within 10 feet, it can kill you. That's way beyond any type of hurricane wind coming at you.
Right. This is one, and we kind of talked about it in pre-show, where you're looking at an advancing military, or they're using it for crowd control. But we're talking about, and we've discussed it before, like an LRAD ray, where your military's coming and they shoot like a pulse or a sound at them, and they just fall to their knees and they're like grabbing their ears.
Yeah,
they're completely incapacitated. What a great weapon!
It is a great weapon. I have to wonder though if there's a group of insurgents coming at you and the commanding officer says, grab the thunder generator, are they just going to incapacitate these troops and have them drop into their knees? Or are they, okay, let's get them on their knees
and then let's waste them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to really believe in that weapon. If you're in that position where your butt is on the line and you've got a AR-15 in your hand and the commanding officer says, all right, we're going to use the Thunder Machine, you're thinking to yourself, I kind of want to use my rifle.
Yeah. Or vice versa, if the officer then get out the Thunder Generator and you drop this poor soul to his knees, he's covering his ears, I don't know, maybe he's bleeding out of his eyes, then your officer's like, all right, take him out, be like, I think we've done enough here.
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's gonna get up and run away.
Yeah, now if I see him like reaching for his rifle or anything, I'd be like, let's take him out. But man, who knew that just these concentrated sound waves are would be like, how do you think you're gonna die one day? Pulse.
Concentrated sound wave. Pretty yeah. Sure that's how I'm going to go.
Yeah, that, I can't imagine. I don't want to see the aftermath of that.
And I'm, if there's a video of that in a boot camp, people would be so scared of it. Like, I didn't know this is what I was signing up for, sir.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, is it super loud, like, or is it
silent?
Is it silent till it hits its target? I mean, is everybody standing around with their fingers in their ears, or are they, or do they have muffs on like you'd wear at the range or something? I mean,
it kind of seems like this one is like funneled, like an actual explosion, and then it's funneled towards the crowd. So it could just be like one real quick, like boom.
So it could be like a big firework that right. goes off, and then they're like, project that energy forward now.
And it just knocks everybody down.
Wow. Incredible.
Which is different than, like an electromagnetic beam or like a really high-pitched sound frequency beam that would just like continually hit you.
Right.
That would be like even worse, because then you could either not turn it off or, turn it off at some point, or make them leave the area before you turn it off so they can run away from that sound wave.
Yeah, so many different factors could come into play. I can imagine if you lived in like a rural area where, hunting is really popular, and maybe you have a couple families up there that really aren't into hunting, and they're always complaining about, oh, there's more gunshots, it's definitely hunting season. Well, they should be glad that we don't have like some small thunder generators with us. Like, hunting season started. There's a deer out there probably covering its ears with its hooves right now.
They need soundproofing in their living room.
Yeah, something crazy.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Drone blasting lasers.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley.
The holy grail of sci-fi military technology is the weaponization of laser beams.
Yes.
So far, all we use amplified light for is target identification and marking for conventional munitions, which is pretty boring. As the technology needed to create them gets cheaper, though, powerful lasers are starting to find a place on the battlefield. The Boeing Laser Avenger is an in-development project that deploys a 1 kilowatt solid-state beam to transmit scorching heat to its targets, perfect for knocking enemy drones out of the sky or detonating explosives from a long distance.
This one, I didn't make the connection with the name, but I have seen on a documentary this particular weapon being tested, and they were firing at, just to show you how hot that this beam gets, it was like anywhere between 8 to 12 inch thick glass, and they just fired this beam at it, and within like a couple seconds it just burnt a hole right through it.
Really?
So I can imagine what it would do to if you're going to take out the tires of a car, bang, that's done immediately. You fire this at somebody's head and they're on fire. I mean, immediately.
Yeah. There's so many graphical images from movies of the past where there's laser beams. I remember one James Bond where they got him strapped down to a table and there's a laser beam coming right for him, and he says, what do you expect? You expect me to talk? And the bad guy looks at him and says, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die."
Yeah, I remember that. And yeah. What's interesting is when doing some research for this podcast, I came across a couple different documentaries talking about lasers and using them as weapons. And basically it was stating, yes, we do have some capabilities in lasers, but as far as lasers replacing our regular munitions, that's so far off into the future. The guy referenced Star Trek, and he's like, look at all the little miniature laser guns that they have that are so powerful. He's like, I would love to know what is in those that are charging it and being able to put out that type of force, because he said, we don't have anything nearly close to that. He said, my 12-year-old version of myself has always wanted one, but he said that they're so complex in building that it'll be, I don't know, 50 to 100 years in the future until they would even have like a prototype for like a pistol size laser. Of course, we're talking outside of the military-industrial complex as far as people know about laser guns. And what was another interesting fact was they were talking about laser weaponry on satellites in space. And what I thought was interesting was they stated if you fire a laser at a target in space, that obviously the laser is traveling at the speed of light. And being that there's no atmosphere, you wouldn't even see the laser. All you would see is the target being destroyed. And of course, there would be no huge explosion because of no atmosphere and air that, you wouldn't even see it and you wouldn't even hear anything. And that's pretty incredible. And they say that the lasers would be more accurate in space, too, because there are no dust particles in the air, and that there's nothing that it has to worry about even trying to navigate around in the slightest bit of space. It's amazing.
I've seen some actual lasers aboard United States naval vessels, but the thing with those is they have a nuclear power plant, so they can just use as much energy as they want.
Right.
To have a handheld laser, I mean, just the battery in my phone is some lithium,
Right.
But there's no way that you can shoot a laser beam out of that. So I think we're pretty far off from laser beams in our hands, but the nuclear vessels that we have definitely produce enough power to create a really strong laser beam that could do some serious damage to some oncoming, harm doers.
Agreed. Now, going from the drone blasting laser being the holy grail. What do you think about this one entitled, well, it's called Zombie Gun. I love it already. Some believe that the final frontier of warfare is the human mind. And if that turns out to be the case, we better hope that we don't go to war with Russia anytime soon. A report from an Australian newspaper quoted the country's defense minister talking about a weapon that could induce excruciating pain in human targets as well as turn them into easily influenced zombies by dampening their higher cognitive functions. Tests have already shown that low-frequency radiation can implant thoughts into target's brain, so it's only a matter of making it portable and battlefield-ready. Now, what they're talking about here, to me, it sounds like back after World War II, when the Nazis were being tried for all the crimes that they committed against humanity. Many of you might have heard of Dr. Von Braun, who was brought over by the Nazis to create the atomic bomb and work on lots of our rocket programs. But what happened was not only was he taken in by our government, they took 1,500 Nazis, and some were put in head positions of NASA, CIA, I mean, you name it. But then they were talking about in this documentary that they did have some Nazis left over that they didn't have any positions for. So some of them were sent into like LSD testing, and some were sent into a program called the MK Ultra program, which sounds exactly what they're talking about here, because MK Ultra was like a mind control that they were testing on people. And, you know, this says that the tests have already shown that low frequency radiation can implant thoughts into a target's brain. Well, that's exactly what they were doing in this MK Ultra. And they had a lot of people after these testings throwing themselves out of windows and committing suicide in just about any way you can think, because they lost their minds.
Right.
It's baffling.
It goes back to the, you know, Project Bluebeam information that we brought out to our listeners. That LRAD beam that is implanted into the brain that makes you think that your God is talking to you. Same concept here. You got a low frequency, ultra low frequency beam that's getting shot directly into your brain that's making you either pain, you know, a bunch of pain, or implanting an idea that is making you like a drone, like a zombie.
Yeah, I think the best way that this weapon could possibly be used on the battlefield, say if it was like you know, soldier on soldier, and you know, one platoon coming after another, if we were to use this gun and maybe concentrate its power on like half of their platoon, and the message being, turn on these guys, turn on your,
it's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, and just have half of that platoon wipe out the rest of the platoon, and now you have the rest that are probably halfway to madness by now, and then you just wipe them out as well.
Right, if it just, you know, you're fighting shoulder to shoulder, and it's like,
yeah,
turn on your buddy.
Exactly and right,
the guy that you're shooting with now is shooting at you. You have no idea where to shoot.
Nope.
Crazy weapon. Oh my gosh.
I kind of like it though.
I know, it's sinister.
It is very sinister.
I got one for you. This is a little bit more mechanical.
Love it.
Technologically, a bullet is pretty boring. It's just a slug of metal that flies through the air at high speeds and hopefully kills somebody.
Pretty much.
Leave it to DARPA to try and jazz up a simple munitions by making them able to adjust their course in midair.
Oh.
The agency's X-Acto program has a 50 caliber shell with inboard computers. It's a guidance system that can manipulate small fins on the bullet, on the bullet's surface, that allow it to make course corrections during its flight. It can take environmental factors into account, and they even work to hone in on moving targets. So I've seen a rifle, oh man, that rifle that you and I were looking at in pre-show.
Right.
That shoots these 50 caliber shells, and once you connect with the optic, then the shells, the bullets can actually change their course to hit a moving target while it's moving after you've shot it.
I got some questions on here. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with a 50 caliber round, but that is a pretty big round.
It's an elephant gun.
Yeah, I mean, and the velocity that this round comes out of the muzzle with, if they're being able to manipulate small fins on the bullet surface and correct its course, this shot must be long off, because we're talking about 2,300, 3,000 feet a second, and you have the capability during this time to go in and change the course. It's got to be, because even a mile shot is done in like 4 to 6 seconds, so they must be shooting at some things pretty long distance away. But obviously, if they can manipulate small fins on the bullet surface that allow it to make course corrections during flight, they shoot it at anything. Because, Newton's law that comes into effect, an object in motion is going to stay in motion until activated by an outside force. So, man, this could change the whole distances of how a bullet can fly, because heck, man, if they can put little wings on it, what's to say that they can't put just like a little mini propeller even on the back of it, helping it speed up or slow down? Crazy.
And all you really need to do is have that honed in guidance system. I mean, if it could go off like the optic reflecting on your eye, so that anywhere that your eye went, the bullet would go.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, once you get the technology that can control those little fins to make it left turn, right turn, up, down, then you can pretty much shoot anywhere and hit anything.
Right. And these weapons that we're talking about right now, these are ones, I mean, if you do research, you can find out on the internet. Just imagine what they have that hasn't been released to the public and won't be, or if it will be, it won't be for the next 20 to 30 years. I mean, they probably have some things that break the laws of physics. People can't even comprehend. And you wonder, or I wonder, how often were they used, or do they break these bad boys out if they think, okay, we're getting our butts beat a little bit. It's time to bring out the zombie gun and tracking bullets. Oh, and grab the drone blasting lasers while we're at it.
Right. There's a reason why we were able to roll into Baghdad in 3 days.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, let's see what I got here for you. Oh, great one. Powered exoskeletons.
I love this one.
The fantasy of going into battle at the controls of a giant robot is still pretty much the domain of animation. But a recent Lockheed Martin project, now if you're all been following our podcast, Lockheed Martin plays a big role in ufology. They have back engineered many of spacecraft, but that's neither here nor there right now. Lockheed Martin project is bringing soldiers one step closer to being Iron Man. The Human Universal Load Carrier Project built a mechanical exoskeleton for soldiers to wear in the field, consisting of a pair of mechanized titanium leg braces that allowed the wearers to carry up to 200 pounds for almost limitless periods of time without fatigue. The onboard computer monitor movements and load levels keeps the frame moving in sync with the wear. It's pretty cool proof of concept that could lead to bigger stuff in the future. Now, I think that this is absolutely beast mode, and everyone wants to be Iron Man, any man anyway, that, you know, has their inner superhero. And what I don't understand about this is, though, if it's 200 pounds on top of your body, how are you going for almost limitless periods of time without fatigue? I mean, I understand there's onboard monitors and move. So is the computer actually moving the limbs of it, or they help carrying the load, or?
You know the Tom Cruise movie, The Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Where he kind of hops inside. And also, I think it was the end of The Matrix, where they hop inside those larger scale robots. And
sure.
They just make the motions with their body, and then the computer senses it and then moves the mechanisms so that they don't have to carry the load at all. They just put the load on them.
Gotcha.
And then that exoskeleton kind of just enhances their movements.
Okay. Yeah, there was another movie too. One of the lead actors from Sons of Anarchy, the guy that played Jax in it. He was in a movie where they would climb into like the head of these, I guess for lack of a better term, is a big transformer looking things. Pacific Rim. Good movie where they were going after these creatures that could read your thoughts.
Man, that was a great movie.
But yeah, so I mean, if they have it on this small scale right now, I mean, geez, I mean, these things were like the size of skyscrapers. Absolutely incredible. That'd be game, set, match right there. You send two of those into a country, forget about it. They would need a nuke to bring them down almost.
Or their defending machines. If they had equal, I think that's how Pacific Rim went. Like, we were fighting with our machines, and then other countries had similar type of machines, and you just see who could build the biggest one and
right
the fastest one with the best defenses, and maybe a sword instead of a hand.
Right, that would be. I mean, if they come out with those, I mean, not to sound morbid, but if we go into war, I mean, they'd almost have to put that on pay-per-view because you gotta see that thing in action.
I know. I would love to see that.
Just punch a building and down it comes. Craziness.
It's just the next level. It's futuristic. It's so cool.
It is.
So I got one here that we've discussed in past episodes, but I love this one so much.
Absolutely.
Quantum camouflage.
Yes.
Optical camouflage. The patterns we put on our uniforms and vehicles to make them harder for the enemy combatants to see have limits. They're designed to approximate the colors and textures of an environment, but will never perfectly blend in. That's why many military researchers are staking out a position in the field of quantum camouflage.
Amazing.
Which is a high-tech concealment system that actually bends light to simply go around the things it's hiding. At least one firm claims to have perfected the technology, which requires no power to operate and uses an array of small antenna to bend the light.
Wow.
You believe this? I've seen some pictures.
It's crazy. And from what I understand about it, it was invented by scientists in Scotland that are actually working on and, I guess, perfected the quantum camouflage. I understand it in theory about how it bends the light, but when you look at pictures of these online, a lot of the people are keeping like their head out of the cloak. But it's like you're looking right through their body. So it's bending it in like a full 360. So you can see, well, directly through the person, because the one image we were looking at, we could see like the big trees and shrubbery behind them. It was amazing.
And even if it's not 100%, and they're using it for this application where they're using it for camouflage, it's 100% better than what we've got now.
Oh, definitely.
And we've got some really good camouflage. When you and I go out hunting and we're all set up with our camouflage that it mimics the fall foliage of Pennsylvania, we're pretty hidden.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless you know exactly where somebody is, you're not going to see us out in the woods. I mean, no one's going to be able to just pick us out. I mean, because we've got everything from face masks all the way down to our boots covered in real tree.
Right.
But it would definitely be interesting to try out this quantum camouflage in a simple scenario, just as hunting, because the deer, it would be interesting to see them walk by. They can smell something that they know isn't around, but they can't locate it. They would just be on such high alert, and then, you know, obviously they would get dropped then, but wow. I mean, it would change the game.
It would. You get to see those buck snorts, and the deer would put its little nose up in the air and start smelling around. And
definitely, and stomping.
You'd just be standing right there watching the whole thing happen because of the quantum camouflage.
Yeah, it would be great that if they could get it onto a scale that was affordable for people. I mean, just think, I mean, not only would it change the hunting game. Well, I mean, you know, ultimately it would be used in war, but I mean, in funner aspects like hunting or paintball.
Oh, yeah.
For some guys on your team, like, all right, we're going to spread out. You guys just stay right here. Put this on. Guard the flag.
No one's going to see you.
Incredible technology.
It is. I love that one.
Okay. Now, this next one I got, it is called Neuromorphic Drone. It's a drone. Drone aircraft are completely changing the way we fight on foreign soil, with unmanned aircraft working numerous jobs to keep soldiers out of harm's way. These drones still do need a pilot behind the stick, but the next phase in their evolution might change all of that. Again, DARPA recently conducted an experiment where they outfitted small helicopters with neuromorphic chip, one mimicking the human brain. The copters were able to scan their surroundings and compare them with other areas they had visited, essentially learning on the fly and becoming more able to navigate. It's only a proof of concept, but this could be the building block to completely autonomous soldiers. Now, during our research, we came across a couple of drones that looked similar to this neuromorphic drone, and they're no bigger than maybe I would say like a can of soda,
right? Smaller than your hand.
Yeah, and they have cameras on the front, cameras on top, and then another camera at like 45 degree angle looking right in front of them,
right,
or off into the distance or something like that. Incredible. But if you think that you're going to be able to go out to your local Best Buy and grab one, the order that was placed on these was for 120 of them at a small cost of $20 million. Incredible.
It is incredible to me because I'm looking at our drone technology currently, and they've got some pretty small drones.
Yeah, they do. Like, the size of, like, I don't know, some are like 50 cent pieces.
Maybe not with the optical lenses that these neuromorphic drones have. And they can't, I mean, they need somebody behind the stick. And I guess the takeaway from this is that the drones that these guys have will learn the lay of the land.
Right.
And teach themselves to become autonomous. But boy, that is a ton of money, man.
You're talking about a drone, like we said, like the size of like a can of soda. So to break it down individually, each of them costs $166,667.
Jeez. And they could just get a soldier just swatted out of the air.
Yeah, pretty much. But by that time, they know exactly where your position is. And then here comes the the centrifugal gun, the thunder generator, the zombie gun, the drone blasting laser, and the tracking bullets. And they'll finish you off with the powered exoskeleton. So go ahead and SWAT.
They've already got you.
They do. They do.
At the low price of $160,000.
Yeah. It's either that or a Lambo.
I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah. What you got?
Neuromorphic drones and these ones, man. Cyborg insects. You know, animals have fought alongside us on the battlefield since the dawn of warfare. From mounted cavalry to bomb-sniffing dogs. Heck, the CIA once even tried to find a way to weaponize pigeons.
True.
But a recent project from DARPA goes a step further. Weaponizing insects. The concept is called HIMEMS, or Hybrid Insect Microelectrical Mechanical System. Bugs are taken when they are pupa, and electrical circuits are implanted in their bodies. when they take on their adult forms, signals sent via radio waves trigger those circuits, making them essentially remote controlled. By attaching surveillance equipment, these bugs can be used for virtually undetectable battlefield exploration. So they put these things on there, and they become sensors. They could sniff out gases.
Wow.
They just have an unlimited capability of becoming little sensors that are out there flying around for you.
So basically, if they wanted to attach this to, say, a butterfly, they would wait until the caterpillar is in its chrysalis, right?
Right.
And then they would start...
it's just the sight of a butterfly while you're at war.
Well, hey, no one would suspect it.
Nope, that butterfly just sunk your battleship.
Right. So this caterpillar is in its chrysalis, and then electrical circuits are implanted in their bodies so that when they take on their adult forms, they have all this technology that can be used essentially by remote control.
Right. Their bodies have grown around the circuitry. So now all of a sudden you've got maybe a full size mosquito or.
Right. Which is, so, I mean, just to be able to do that is incredible. Now think about the machinery that they're using to actually do this, to go into the chrysalis. And, you know, it's got to be like tiny mechanical arms and attaching all of this and in the right way. Because you had to be, okay, well, when this grows bigger, this is probably going to shift up here. And just, wow. I mean, there you are with your special ops team, and you know, no one's going to find us here. But like, man, there's a lot of mosquitoes and butterflies around here. And before you know it, here comes two F-16s. And
how did they find us?
Yeah.
The butterfly.
And that, I mean, that's something that comes, that's straight out of a sci-fi film, because, I've heard about, I saw it on like the X-Files. They were talking about these little bugs that, and literally, they weren't even just like little pieces of metal. They're actually like these little bugs that were going in and surveilling stuff. And who knew that one day that we would actually have this capability? It's crazy. I mean, if you can turn a butterfly into a war machine, there's not too much that we can't do anymore.
I know. The person that thought that up has got to be like a sci-fi novelist.
Yeah. I mean, imagine sitting around at a table full of generals and maybe even the president. Like, does anybody have any ideas?
I do.
I do, sir. I've come up with a plan that when a caterpillar enters its chrysalis...
like, the generals would have to shoot you down like the first 20 times you pitch that.
Yeah, they would be like... get this man out of here.
And
as soon as you're out of the room, they're just like, I like it.
Really, butterflies, man. I think we could do this.
Butterflies over in the desert. They'd be like, maybe we should work with what were those spiders that...
Oh, man. Camel
spiders.
Camel spiders. Those things are gnarly.
They are pretty gnarly. Let's see. Ooh, got a good one here for you. This reminds me something straight out of Terminator 2. They're called liquid metal missiles.
That is Terminator 2 for sure.
Absolutely. Here's another new kind of munition that aims to flip the script on how we blow stuff up. Traditional shells pack a punch of explosive within their casing, which detonates and sends the metal flying. DARPA's new Mayhem Artillery, it stands for Magneto Hydrodynamic Explosive Munition, takes a more elegant approach. Each warhead holds a magnetic force generator, which, on impact, powers up to shape the shell's molten metal core into a pointed spear shape that cuts right through whatever armor it encounters. This technology allows for precision targeted strikes with maximum killing.
What?
Yeah.
This is crazy. So it's got metal that's in some molten or like a liquid state?
Yeah. And then upon impact, that molten metal just basically turns into a sharp spear and just penetrates whatever.
This is some next level stuff here. So
yeah, because I mean, if you think about, I don't know, like first thing that popped into mind was like the Zulus in Africa running around, you know, with spears and stuff like that. Now imagine taking one of those spears and propelling it at the same force that it's coming out of a barrel of a rifle and just hitting whatever. I mean, it's just going to be, it's just, I don't know, a spear traveling at 3,000 feet a second. Not too much. It's going to
a magnetic stop. Force generator. So it's kind of like, you know, you got a tank out there and
yeah,
you're shooting this warhead at it. Then as soon as it hits it, it just goes right through the metal of the tank because it's creating the spear shape right then out of liquid metal.
Yeah. And I mean, something traveling at that velocity and of that shape, it doesn't even matter if it has any type of explosives on it or not. I mean, just the kinetic energy of hitting something, it's just going to be devastating. I mean, you could do a similar experiment with if you're just holding a 10-pound rock in your hand and you're standing there and you drop it on the ground. Okay, you're going to see like a little imprint on the ground. Now you take that same rock and you put it into like a big catapult and change the speed to 30 times that, 30 times squared, and you launch that sucker. When that lands, now you're looking at a big crater form.
Right.
So now you take it up and you shoot it out with the velocity of coming out of a rifle. Game over.
Yeah, that is a fantastic weapon.
I'm excited for this next one because this is every kid's fantasy.
This next one is... I've dreamt of it a million times.
Definitely.
Plasma force fields.
Yes.
With all these fancy new bullets, the race is on to find fancy new forms of armor to keep them away from our soft and vulnerable parts. Aerospace giant Boeing recently received a patent that could signal the next wave in tank warfare. A plasma force field that could repel or absorb shockwaves from explosives. The technology uses electricity, lasers, and microwave radiation to rapidly superheat an area in front of the shockwave, creating an interference field of plasma that should, in theory, absorb the kinetic energy released. This is still in the exploratory phase, but it sounds pretty darn cool.
It definitely does. We were looking at a couple pictures of what would be, I guess, the prototype of this online, and it looked amazing. It looked incredible. And the only thing that crossed my mind was because it was the force field, one of the soldiers was in a kneeling position, and it seemed to be like half a circle covering his body. Now, what popped into my mind was, okay, well, what if like a grenade was thrown and it landed beside him? Now, granted, this force field's going to protect the shrapnel in the initial blast, but what about when the grenade explodes and it goes down? I wonder if, does it cover the whole body, or can something come up from the bottom of you?
I gotcha, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a big explosive, I mean, it could just, you know, it could drop the bottom out of you and... that would be a game over. But I'm sure, as sophisticated as these weapons are, I'm sure they've thought about, you know, what about underneath? But I mean, they're saying in theory it should work. It's crazy. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the first one to test it. Like, all right, you go down there 200 yards, we're gonna fire this at you. But well, maybe that would be, I mean, if, you know, the people are convicted in the death penalty, they're like, okay, you can either be hung, shot, or you can try out the new plasma force field.
It reminds me of that old picture of like the real slow cannonball coming at the fat guy and hitting his belly and then the ripples. Yeah. But in the new futuristic weapons where you have a plasma force field, it would get stopped right before it hit the body.
That would be amazing to see.
Plus, if it uses electricity, lasers, and microwaves, they could probably put a small camera on the helmet which would show in real time the whatever is coming at the soldier and transfer the energy to that side.
Right.
Or use sensors somehow to detect like a an impending doom, yeah, and then transfer the whatever force field it is to the side that you needed. Unless, I mean, you needed both sides at the same time, but
yeah, because it would almost have to be deployed, you know, on its own by, you know, detecting a bullet being shot out of a gun, or I don't know, the sound of a pin being pulled out of a grenade. Because in war, you're not going to be like, that guy just shot, push the button, because right, by that time you're dead.
You'd walk into the place with the button pushed.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd just keep this on. But you know what? If I can't imagine that you can use it too many times without, I mean, with all the microwave energy, I mean,
right, you would probably have like a little visor that would show how much battery power you have left, or
well, and not only that, maybe even how much life you may have left, depending on how many times you use it, because I can imagine that all those waves aren't going to be very good at keeping cancer away.
Yeah, it's probably like, well, you're going to get shot, or 40 years from now you're going to have a really good chance of getting some really bad disease. It's up to you to push the button.
Guy's like, I don't know, me and my wife haven't been getting along pretty well. Give it to that guy over there. I'm good.
There you go, Dave.
Thanks. Yeah, he just got married. Let's see. Okay, so we just went through a good list of...
Man, those were really fun weapons to talk about, too. I really enjoyed that.
They were, and they were really exciting. Going to go through a few more of, some weapons that we could possibly be having in the near future, or possibly already have. Now, the first one I'm going to mention, it's called the Aurora Excalibur. Now, if any of you have been following in, the path of ufology and such, there is a triangle craft that for many years people have been calling Aurora. The government has been denying its existence. There's a lot of people that think that it was that craft that was used in 97 when the Phoenix Lights incident, and everyone was seeing this huge craft out and in the middle of the sky. But it's real, and it was created by Lockheed Skunk Works. But the Aurora Excalibur is an unmanned aircraft that operates with a vertical takeoff, and I watched it online take off of an aircraft carrier. It is so sick. And vertical takeoff and landing. So basically, this plane came in, it flew, it hovered beside the aircraft carrier, and then just came in sideways and then like parked.
I've seen aircraft personally do that, but not the way the Aurora does. I've seen a Harrier in Ocean City, and it did the hover trick, and it had the water like underneath, right, it, like moving.
That's pretty beast.
The Aurora moves in a different way. The propulsion system is completely different for that.
Right. Well, it can reach speeds up to 460 miles per hour and carry missiles on board to shoot. The aircraft can do all of this via remote control. And from what they say, the Excalibur was successfully tested and is in use. So, but I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard too many reports of the Aurora coming into action, but
yeah, we've got Fort Indiantown Gap a few miles up the road here, and I don't think that the Aurora has made it that far yet.
No, but when they are testing their explosives, we definitely know it, because we're a good 20 miles from there, and when they're testing their explosives, all the windows in my house are just like, whoa,
yes,
shaking. It's incredible.
I've been there for my parents live in East Hanover, which is very, very close, and it is a unique and odd sound to hear.
Definitely.
I got one here, the XM-25. The XM-25 is capable of firing up to 25 grenades.
Dang.
At any distance that can be predetermined and programmed by the user. This new weapon combines the capabilities of both a gun and a computer in one. it's rumored that the XM25 guns will be used in Afghanistan this month.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. 25 grenades out of a gun.
So if you walk in with the XM25 and the centrifuge gun, you might as well forget about it. 25 grenades at any distance, plus and 120,000 rounds per second. Nobody is coming after your platoon at this point.
Reminds me of the 4th of July where they've got those sparklers and then they just start going...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Explosions going off left and right.
I would like to see the size of this weapon. It's got to be nuts.
Now, this is one I've never seen a video of an XM25. This is just one I'm reading about.
So, here's one. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, is developing the future of laser weapons known as high-energy liquid laser area defense system. The goal of this laser system is to be compact enough to fit on board of a tactical aircraft without affecting mission performance. The lasers would be powerful enough to shoot down rockets, missiles, and artillery shells. Stage 4 ground tests are scheduled for later this year. It's going to be just... I always have to think what it's going to be like in 50 or 100 years from now. Hopefully, we're still around to see some of it, but...
Yeah, I mean, the way that medical science is progressing, I can't see why we wouldn't be.
That's true.
Unless we run into one of these zombie guns.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
DARPA's doing their best to create new weapons to take us out.
Yeah, exactly. They're making a living off of killing. So, what's going on in the Navy these days?
The Navy, I mean, just like the Pentagon, the Navy's in the process of designing an even different laser beam to shoot down rockets and missiles that might attack ships. There are endless uses for the laser when it's not shooting down enemy fire, such as... tracker, sensor, information exchange, and target designation, among others. I'm pretty sure this is the Navy ship that I saw with that big laser attached to the front of it, and it is it's quite impressive. It's got the green screen covering the lens, and man, with the nuclear propulsion, it just has unlimited energy. You can use that laser for, and I like the information exchange.
I was just gonna say, I was like, as soon as he's done, I'm gonna mention, yeah, I mean, okay, granted, great, it's cool, it can kill people, but the information exchange is just beast. Because if you, let's say you have you're out on a destroyer and you want to send information to one of the other destroyers that's maybe, I don't know, 50-60 miles down the ocean, and you use this laser beam, that information is going to be transported at, 106,000 miles per second? So you're getting the information immediate. I mean, there's no modems that can work that just quick.
Morse code, like in the old World Wars.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, this is shooting information at the speed of light. So
incredible.
I love it.
Well, the U.S. military tested a version of a railgun, and the weapon can accelerate projectiles at speeds of 2.4 kilometers per second, 7 times the speed of sound. A perfected version of the gun is expected to be ready between the year 2020 and 2025. Now, I have seen these rail guns, and they are just massive in scale. I mean, they can be the size of a small building or even a medium-sized building. And they were talking about on one of the documentaries I was watching that the projectiles that they load into it could be something that is made out of solid steel and as big as a Volkswagen.
Jeez.
So imagine a Volkswagen traveling at 2.4 kilometers per second, or 7 times the speed of sound, and impacting on its target.
Oh my gosh.
It would be obliterated.
I'm pretty sure those railguns, is that electromagnetic?
Yeah.
Because they're using, they were using, you know, powder or some type of explosion and shooting these projectiles out. But now that they've perfected this electromagnetic propulsion, which is the same thing they use for the hyper trains over
That's what in they Japan. Said in this documentary. They said it's just like these different types of monorails that they have, but they were stating that whatever projectile that you want to load into the railgun, it needs to be wrapped in a covering that's similar to like a tin foil. Because of the magnets inside, that helps to shoot it out, the projectile, and once it comes out, that covering comes off, and it's just mayhem coming your way.
They use that electromagnetic propulsion system in roller coasters,
right?
Yeah, that's how they're now using this electromagnetic propulsion system to get these roller coasters to hit maximum speeds within seconds. And I know we have Hershey Park right down the street and a bunch of their roller coasters.
Storm Runner.
Oh my goodness. They're just, you know, they got the sound of the heart beating and then 3, 2, 1 and boom.
Yep, you're gone.
Just hitting maximum speeds in seconds.
I love it.
Yeah, that is a very cool one. I like the rail gun.
So I'm sure DARPA's up to some other stuff too these days.
DARPA is putting $6 million into a project to create microorganisms that can ultimately be programmed to live indefinitely.
Whoa.
I know. These microorganisms would contain molecules that help resist death and could also be killed by users with the flick of a switch. The debut date for this one is unknown. Microorganisms that just continue to live, huh?
What would they be used for? They needed to go a little bit more in depth than this one, I think.
Yeah, I know. And only $6 million, that doesn't seem like a very large sum of money. But
now, are they thinking about, you know, using these microorganisms and implanting them into human beings? And maybe they're, you know, transforming the way the human body works. And maybe you're having a soldier that just can live on. Or if these organisms are inside of you and you get shot, do they rush to that site and just start repairing it really quick or something like that? That's what I'm going to propose at the next DARPA meeting, that it be used for.
Or if they had microorganisms that would just continually live, and you have a soldier out there on the field that gets shot, but he can just keep going and still fight.
Right.
Kind of like how arm hanging off, but he's still out there living because these and then somebody flicks a switch and then he's just like,
falls down. Craziness.
Yeah.
Now the Chinese, they're developing a nice weapon. It's got a really pleasant name. It's called the Kill Weapon, which will have the ability to target and destroy moving U.S. aircraft carriers. The anti-ship ballistic missile could strike U.S. vessels at a range of 2,000 kilometers. The missile's odds of evading radar systems are increased because of the maneuverability, making the flight path unpredictable and the low radar signature. Debut date unknown.
That one, man, to take out an entire... Were they taking out an entire...
aircraft carriers.
That's like our biggest ship.
That's a floating city that's going to be... I mean, and the Chinese have that, and I know we probably have aircraft carriers over off the coast of them. I mean, if this was out and being used now,
we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, we definitely would. I think we have a few more coming up here. Let's see what we got next. Well, actually, looking over, it looks like we've covered pretty much all of the quote-unquote space/future weapons. But what it made me think of when we were just discussing the kill weapon with the evading radar systems are increased because of maneuverability and making the flight path unpredictable and the low radar signature. It reminded me of what you were talking about with the GPS systems that our government's been working on. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's one of our currently in use systems that is completely a way that we've militarized space. In that application of space militarization that's currently in use is a global positioning system. This satellite navigation system is used for determining one's precise location, providing a highly accurate time reference almost anywhere in the Earth or in Earth's orbit. It uses an intermediate circular orbit satellite constellation of at least 24 different satellites. The GPS system was designed by and is controlled by the United States Department of Defense, and it can be used by anyone free of charge. Now, the cost of maintaining our GPS system is $400 million per year, and that's including the replacement of aging satellites. The first 24 satellites that we use in GPS went into orbit February 14th of 1989. The 52nd GPS satellite since the beginning in 1978 was launched in 2004 aboard a Delta II rocket. The primary military purposes are to allow improved command and control of forces through the improved location awareness. And this is cool. The United States has the GPS system, and every other nation has since then tried to come up with their own. So the Europeans, their concern about the level of control over GPS network and commercial issues has resulted in the planned Galileo positioning system. Russia already operates an independent system called GLONASS. That system operates with 24 satellites that are deployed in three orbital planes, as opposed to the four that GPS is deployed in. The Chinese Beidou system provides China a similar regional, not global, navigation system. And India is currently developing its own regional satellite navigation system. So each one of these big countries has their own systems up and running because nobody wants to be dependent upon the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, man, a GPS that we have up now, and you can access it, you know, from your iPhone. Everybody uses GPS.
Right. I think what I'm most upset about is that they've had GPS since like the late 70s, late 80s, and here we were around teenagers trying to get across country using maps. It's like, oh, come on. Where was the Garmin back then?
Yeah, we did. We used maps to get everywhere when we were kids.
That's crazy. Well, that was extremely interesting. Even though, you know, we were giving the information, I was just like, wow, it's crazy what the future holds. And I'd hate to be on the receiving end of any of these weapons. So hopefully everyone just remembers that the United States is the greatest country in the world, and that don't try and fight us.
Right. We got the best stuff.
And you won't even see us because we're going to cloak ourselves, and don't make us shoot 25 grenades at you at one time or 120,000 rounds per second. You'll be fine.
That's great. Yeah, we do have some crazy weapons coming out.
We certainly do. I had a great time with this podcast tonight, and I hope that our listeners enjoyed it. If you did, or even if you didn't, why don't you go out and tell us what you liked or disliked about it? And if you've come across some futuristic weapons that you've heard that our government or other governments are working on or considering putting out, let us know, because we'd like to look into that. That's for sure.
If you've been checking out Subtle Beast on any of our platforms, we're out there on Google Play, we're on iTunes, we're on Podbean, please feel free to give us a review. It definitely would help us out. If you go into iTunes and review us, that would propel our podcast to the next level. So
absolutely. And if you have one of those Alexa systems, I was reading that you can now just say, Alexa, play Subtle Beast podcast, and it should bring it up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so thank you to all our listeners. Had a great time tonight. And, until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.